Welcome to Crippled System Podcast number 4. I actually remember which episode it was this time, so that's awesome. This is Jeremy, / Valiant 418, and I play Rhett and Legion.
This is Andy. I play Trollbloods.
This is Brian, Carnage for You. I play board games.
True statement.
And occasionally I play some cricks.
Nathan, Ridia Fan Mercs.
This is Katie, Bad Horse, Circle.
Yeah, good job, Matt.
Like, who am I? What do I play? And why am I here?
The hamster wake up and I'm like, oh my god, what did she play? What did she play?
So that's us. We're not going to do an intro into why one of us plays a faction this week. We're going to try to do kind of an end of year wrap up. So we're going to start talking about what our goals are for 2013.
End of year.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but it's very close to the end of December.
We're recording next week too.
Well, I'm not, so to hell with you guys.
Yeah.
Well, I will be in Australia next week.
That's why
so
we're letting
there.
You talk, so you can feel like a big important
I thought it was
man.
The Caribbean. I really don't pay attention to you when you guys
Australia
talk to me at all.
Is Australia in the Caribbean?
No. I don't know. I thought you guys went on a Caribbean tour.
I thought we were going to the Caribbean.
No, you didn't.
That's what I've been telling people.
Australia? Who goes to Australia? There's like crazy people down there.
Is that
where
the Germans invaded?
The Caribbean?
The Caribbean.
Or was it pirates?
That's probably pirates.
Oh, yeah, Australia's pirates.
Okay.
Also Australia pirates.
I think it was the Nazis.
Yeah.
No, get it? Because Austria's thing is, like, we do not have kangaroos. And so...
Austria does not have kangaroos.
Austria does not.
Right, but that's like a t-shirt that they sell over there.
Really?
Yeah, because people get Austria and Australia mixed up all the
freaking
time.
Who gets Austria and Australia mixed up?
Stupid people. Haven't you ever seen Dumb and Dumber?
We don't live... Yeah.
I really hope that the vast majority of people are not as stupid as Lloyd.
My favorite Austria-based t-shirt is actually, where is Ausfahrt? It's actually in Germany and Austria, the whole, because that Ausfahrt means exit. That's actually where we get fart from, the gas exiting, whatever. But so when you're driving down the road, all the way, like, the signs will be like, Ausfahrt 12 kilometers and Ausfahrt 8 kilometers, and all the tourists are like, what the hell is Ausfahrt? Like, every road leads to that place.
That's pretty good. I had never heard that before.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Australia.
Yes, Australia.
Yeah, I did not know they spoke German in Australia.
Yeah, I know.
I don't
amazing.
Think they do speak German.
Why did you learn
no,
German
I
to go to Australia?
German settlers who went to Australia.
No.
They're like, yeah, that's why
it's
in Australia.
It's a British
that's why,
penal
right,
colony.
That's why it's so close right. to Austria. Is because they just jumped and they're like, oh, we're not creative because we're Germans.
Let me get this straight then. I want to make sure I'm following things.
Okay.
So the British Nazis colonized the Caribbean and founded Australia.
With no kangaroos.
Right, they did not bring kangaroos over.
Right.
Okay.
That is how that happened.
Okay.
I believe in 1793.
Yes.
And this is a cruise?
Yeah, they have cruises there.
It's dangerous because of the pirates.
Because of the pirates, right.
But we're going to risk it.
So yes, we're going to Australia, which is not in the Caribbean, and they do have kangaroos.
Seriously, though, every animal there wants to murder the fuck out of you. Just
I
be aware of that
well,
before
I'm on
you
a
go
ship,
in.
So I should be fairly
it does
safe.
Not matter.
I'm going to go
on away.
Sharks and spiders and death.
I thought Austria was
snakes,
landlocked.
Scorpions.
Yeah. Austria is.
Austria.
So why are you doing a cruise?
Yeah, well, yeah. How can you do a cruise to a landlocked area?
Although, to be
rivers.
Fair, there were
there
giant octopuses in Germany last night, so who knows what's going on.
That's true.
It's true.
Because craziness happens. It's fortune and glory. There were all also right. two different blimps inside of pyramids.
Here's the thing. This is a War Machine podcast.
What? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we should get
right.
back to that.
I had no idea what's happening.
I forgot about that.
I was thinking about board games again. Well, 14 hours of board games does it to a person.
Although, to be fair, there won't be much War Machine talking tonight.
Well, we're going to talk about casters and stuff, and then...
I mean, there's, like, one topic that's dedicated to War Machine.
No, they all are.
There's like two...
My goals for 2013 are War Machine related. Oh. I just don't get to talk about them, apparently.
Mine were not.
Oh.
We were all on different pages regarding the concept of talking about goals.
Yeah, my life goals are not going to be discussed in this podcast.
I want to kick heroin. Like, yeah. That wasn't one of the things we were going to talk about. We were going to talk about, you know...
I want to lose some weight, and I think heroin would be the key.
That's true.
Would make
That's
it
true.
Easier.
I'm going to take up meth as a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You would lose a lot of weight.
Yeah.
I don't like
and a lot of belonging.
And
belongings,
a lot of
pride.
Yeah.
I
haven't had pride while doing meth. I think I
knew a guy that gave up smoking and then took it back up intentionally to lose weight. Like, he managed to quit smoking, which is a terrible, horrible ordeal, and was like, I'm kind of heavy set. I'm going to take up smoking again so I lose some weight.
That's because obesity is a bigger killer than smoking.
It's true. Also, it's nowhere near as cool.
That's true.
I disagree.
And you can't
smoking
get laid
gross,
as much.
When you're fat or smoking? Because I don't like either.
I just know that my friend Sarah likes people who smoke. She doesn't smoke herself, but she dates people who smoke so that she can taste it when she kisses them.
That's gross. Disgusting. That's like, really, really nasty.
I did not need to know that information.
Is she cute? I'll take up smoking.
She's engaged.
She's engaged
and
to somebody in prison.
I don't recall that being that part
is,
of my question.
That is personal information. I feel like now you're giving out too much information about my friends.
Now I'm more interested again.
Ryan, so, high standards.
No. So, anyway.
So, Jeremy, what are your goals in War Machine in 2013?
Apparently, to take up smoking? I don't know. All right, so honestly.
I don't like smoking.
No, smoking is gross, I agree. So, War
Tobacco
Machine.
Or just, you know. In general, smoking.
In general. Like, I have grandparents that, like, died from smoking-related stuff, so.
I would... Never mind. I meant, like, are there
other
like things?
Oh, like, weed's okay, but...
Or we were just talking about meth.
Or meth, right, no, I...
Oh, was that on the podcast?
Yeah, that was on the podcast.
It was 30 seconds ago!
Australia?
Wow. All right.
Is meth legal in Austria? Is that why you're going there?
No.
Are you on a meth cruise?
How much can you bring back?
This is how we make our money.
I'm going to try desperately to bring this back to War Machine.
I do like that we cut a topic to keep this podcast short, and we just wasted several minutes
talking about
Austria.
Meth and Austria, yes. Yeah. Good job. Yeah.
Make sure you double bag it so it doesn't explode.
This podcast is a mess. get it?
That's funny.
Because it sounds like mess.
Yeah, no, I got
that
it.
It was the joke.
It was a bad joke, but yeah. I got it.
Hey, do you know how you get down off of an elephant's back? You don't. You get down off of a duck's belly. Boom.
Oh, my
Done.
God.
You're welcome.
Done and
proceed.
One.
Wow. No, I'm just, I can't even follow that. Wow, we are just all over the place tonight. So seriously, though, my goal in 2013 is to play my ret well enough that I actually make it into a Masters event at one of the cons. Which, if you have heard anything on this podcast ever about how good a player I am, it's a pretty ambitious goal.
So how do you expect to achieve this goal, Mr. Shea?
I am going to practice the crap out of ret. I'm going to play Ossian as long as everyone loves their Colossals. And I'm going to get better at Ron's Assassination. Because I think for ret... If you want to play, they're not a great attrition faction. Their scenario game is strong for Ron specifically, but really where the money is for Rhett, I think, is Assassination.
So, in short, you're just going to run your own con event?
That would also work,
so
yes.
So you can have
Wait,
your no, own
Wait,
no, if
Masters. I run it, aren't I disqualified from being in the event?
No.
I've seen unscrupulous TOs playing their own events, and surprise, they
surprise,
win.
Surprise, they won. Yeah, that'll happen.
They're always confused when people get mad at them. Why are you mad?
That's weird.
Sportsmanship award goes to me. Best page goes to me. Everyone get out.
So, yeah, since I'm not a press ganger, and I'm also not a completely immoral person, I don't think I'll take that particular route. But, yeah, so that's actually my goal. That's been my goal for ever since War Machine Weekend. I decided to myself... Well, I decided that I would play lots of Seven Wonders, if you heard our other podcast. And then I also decided that my goal was to get into a Masters event for a 2013 con. So I'm going to go to Adepticon. I don't expect to make it into that Masters event, but I'm going to go, and I'm going to play, and I'm going to try.
You don't think Rhett can do attrition that well, though, you were saying?
I think that the problem with Rhett for attrition is Rhett struggles more than most factions with the slippery slope when it comes to attrition, in that if they get hit first, which can happen, certainly... then their killing power just drops drastically.
Yeah, but Jim plays the attrition with Rhett.
Jim does
very,
play attrition.
Very well.
He does. And I've tried to learn it from him. I really have. And I don't have the same mind for it. And I think the reason he attritions so well is actually because he's really, really good at the Rhett assassination. And you have to respect it when you play against Jim. Like, because Jim will just be like, oh, I have three models. Well, your caster's just screwed. Like, it doesn't even matter. I got three models left. You're dead. And so if you know that, you have to play differently. You have to play a caster further back. You have to play with more of a camp or more transfers or whatever. Whereas if you don't have to respect the assassination threat from Rhett, I don't think they can win the attrition game.
Something I've seen a couple good Rhett players do that intrigued me and impressed me was feat with Raven, and then their like 20 Mage Hunter Strike Force didn't shoot my caster 20 times. They killed 20 things.
Yes.
And that worked really, really well for him.
And I have...
Like, it's shocking how aiming Raven-feated... Mage Hunters just shoot each other free from melee. We're hitting defense 20, so we'll just... I ran and engaged him, and he's just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And just everything died.
No, like, the Raven list I've actually thought about running is Raven with Mage Hunter Strike Force and Rifleman. The Riflemen are behind the Mage Hunter Strike Force. They get their boosted feet to hits, plus the additional die from the feet, and they just blow the crap out of things that are engaged with the Mage Hunter Strike Force, and then the Mage Hunter Strike Force walks forward 6 and snipes... and shoots everything else that the opponent loves. But right now, like, you can't really run Ossian and Raven. I think it's a bad idea to run that particular pairing, and Ossian's just better in the current meta. Like, he's just so good against high armor.
Why is it bad to run that pairing? Are you losing out, like?
All you're doing, all you have is your whole bag is shooting.
Gotcha.
Your whole bag is shooting.
Right. Yeah, so if you run with a standard, you know, I've got stealth.
Yeah.
Sucks for you.
Rhett already struggles against stealth, but, like, Ron, like, so stealth still sucks, but Rhett with Ron can kind of deal with it. He usually throws out lots of blast damage. He's going to get punched by Andy across the table.
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't done it. I'm listening raptly.
I'm sure you are.
We're all staring at them while they
as they reach into a bag of potato chips and try to silently eat on
it. It was silent. Nobody listened to this podcast would have known anything. I was like a safe cracker. That bag didn't crinkle once. I leaned back and ate the chip without any crunchiness. It wasn't like I was like, nom, nom, chips and cookies. Yeah, I didn't do that.
Now you are, though.
Well, yes, to demonstrate what didn't happen.
All right, you're like a ninja.
To demonstrate what didn't happen.
Yes, it was like a recreation of an alternate history.
All right, well, Mr. Ninja, why don't you tell us what your goal is for 2013, or goals. Knock yourself out.
Oh, well.
Not eat chips on the podcast.
That goal, well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I can't promise not to eat on the podcast. I was thinking about playing my pigs all year.
All year?
I was thinking about, well, because Brian did his Scorn, Crick, Swippy, Flippy thing.
I don't know if you
thing.
Know this, but Scorn's a lot stronger than Pigs.
And I don't recommend a fat.
Pigs are way stronger than people think they are.
They're good, but yeah. They're no Scorn.
And it depends. I'm excited to see, like, Midas and thing. And plus, it would be a challenge. If they're, you know, they're half a faction, they're half of a faction. You know what I mean? Because it's not like minions are as big as a normal faction, and this is only half of that. So it's like, this quarter faction is very limited, which kind of like haiku style. Like, working within limitations would force me to become more creative and better at what I'm doing.
It would force you to practice certain casters a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Which is a problem I have in general, which we talked about last week with the different casters that I have. I'm an altaholic. Like, you know, with games that I, like, create characters, I get, like, all my characters up to, like, level 10 and then start over, like, in MMOs and, like, Borderlands and stuff like that. And that's how it is with my casters in War Machine, is that I've got too damn many casters and mercs. Like, I love all of them, except for P. Magnus, because he's the worst caster in the game. But apart from him, I love all these guys, and so I'll go and I'm like, oh my god, I haven't played Ashlyn in like 3 weeks. I need to play Ashlyn, and I'll play her, and it'll be a disaster, or it'll be good, or whichever. With her, it's usually a disaster. And then, you know, I just go through these cycles, and because there's so many casters, I only play them once every month or two. So I was thinking
I feel like I play your Fiona frequently than that.
Yeah, yeah, and there's some that just like never hit the table, just because I guess. I know they're solid, but I don't get super excited to play them. Like, I don't play Magnus 2 nearly as often as I should, and he's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good caster. He's got a great denial feed. He's got great spells. Like, he's legit good, and I just never play the guy.
Tier Force is good. Isn't he the one starts with his upkeeps out?
That's Magnus 1. Oh. That's one. Well, because he starts with his upkeeps, and he has... I keep trying to make Magnus 1 work by ignoring that ability, because he's all... Well, it's all about jack upkeeps, and he upkeeps him for free, and it's amazing, but...
Then you hit Purification and die.
Yeah, you hit Purification and die, and his feet is lame and dumb, and I hate him, and it makes me sad. But, I don't know. I was just thinking about going just way hardcore pigs, just to force myself to get better at learning specific things before trying out 30,000 other things.
So is that your actual goal, or are you just still thinking about it?
I'm still thinking about it. Especially, it's becoming more and more towards a goal as my pigs are almost all 100% painted now, which is also kind of cool.
That is fun.
I got to be honest. It's going to depend on what Midas and the Razor Hog boards, the little
guys. That's
the
little guys. You're lesser, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to see how they go.
When is Midas actually? Do we know when Midas comes out? Is that even told yet?
I don't think we know anything.
Okay, fair enough.
You don't know anything, but
we've seen, usually when you see a picture, it's usually within the next 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't really keep up with pigs because
I would imagine February, March at the latest.
Yeah. So it depends on how much I want to take myself seriously, because my goals are either going to be to play pigs for basically the whole year, with an occasional sanity break of maybe playing mercs every once in a while just to keep them not from being dusty. The alternate possibility is to really crack down, really discipline myself, really stay good at keeping cool under pressure and not tilting, and qualify for War Machine Weekend.
That would be an amazing
goal.
That
seems more difficult for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems legit more difficult, but it also seems doable.
I would agree. I think you are a good enough player that you could qualify.
Yeah, and when I play well, I'm good enough. I've beaten Keith. I can beat these people, but I'm not consistent enough at it to do so.
Well, like, I think overall your win percentage is pretty good, but at any given tournament, I think that you tend to have trouble making it a whole day from what I've seen.
Well, I do X and 1 a lot. Yeah, I'm a big old X and 1-er.
Yeah.
You tilt easily.
Oh, hell yeah, I tilt easily. I tilt like nobody's business.
When I play you, I count on you tilting. That's how I win.
I was going to say, though, too, that I think the amount of experience that, like, Keith and some of those other guys have in tournaments outweighs your overall experience in those type of situations. And I think once you start getting more of that underneath your belt, I think you're going to be a lot more solid.
Yeah. You got to travel more.
Yeah, I mean
you travel more than I do. But
well, part of it's work retail. So there's so many events. Like I really wanted to go to the Milwaukee event the 29th. Yeah, Milwaukee event and this Saturday, and I work.
Yeah,
so
that's let's call it. It's really going to be there's going to be six Madison players and like four Milwaukee players, maybe eight.
Six Madison, well, probably going to be like almost 12.
Yeah,
it does sound like we have a big group.
We have like
you should call Travis and tell him to just move the event to our store and they can run it. Make it easier. It'll be save on overall gas consumption.
It's going to be a fun weekend.
No, I like those goals. I think both those goals, like either one could be good, but you could still have fun doing both too.
Right.
Like it's not like it would suck the fun out of the game. That is my one caveat to my whole goal with Rhett and also making it a Masters event. If I go 6 months and I'm just getting my crap kicked in with Rhett, I'm going to break my Legion back out and actually try to get into Masters with Legion.
You got to balance it a little bit. When I played Scorn all last year and I burnt myself out, I should have stopped and like every 4 months play like 2 weeks something else, then gone back to 4 months of whatever and then broke for a week or two just to get a little bit of my brain reset.
Well, casually, I don't mind playing both casually, but like I want Rhett to be my competitive tournament faction this year, is what I'd like to do. So, who wants to go next?
I was going to say, Nate, you should probably maybe kind of keep it at the same level. Like, Brian switched over to Scorn, and there's 12 casters in Scorn. So, yeah. like technically for 12 months.
So like
I think you should only do it for 4 months.
Two picks for like a month 4 months, per caster.
Yeah, and just give yourself that, because I can see yourself going nuts after playing it for the full year if things don't turn out
right.
And if you go nuts, we're going to hear about it a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot.
And the bright side, I have at least gotten to the point where I try to make my tilting entertaining.
We'll call it. I greatly enjoyed the time you threw Ashlyn across the room. That was fun for me.
She deserved that.
Mitch always dies.
I almost got a free model out of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
A free painted Ashlyn.
Yeah.
With a missing hand.
Well, yeah.
We found the hand.
Did you really find it?
She has, she's all good now. Although it would have been a good excuse to rebuy the new model, the alt sculpt.
True, the alt sculpt.
The alt sculpt's pretty cool.
I tried giving that to you.
What?
For money.
Well, that's not giving.
That's not giving.
I'm giving it to you in exchange for the retail value.
That's called selling. Brian's goal should be learning what words mean.
No, never.
Merry Christmas. Never. You owe me $29.95.
Plus tax. 5.5% in the Dane County.
All right. So who wants to say what other goals they have?
I can go. Okay. So I want to get really good. I like to point out I'm doing this on the fly because I was not wood filler?
You were not wood filler?
You were not wood filler?
That statement is a little unusual. I don't understand.
My world is shaking. I thought you filled wood. I didn't mean that as dirty. I was just
filling wood. I can't take that
like,
dirty.
That's even backwards. Like wood filling things. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's sexual, but
I fill wood. I was on a different page for what we were talking about when I heard.
I just don't know why people are throwing bottles of wood filler towards you.
I don't know. I was confused. Anyway, I want to get really, really good with Mosar and one other caster so I'll have three casters in my book of people I'm good with that I can take to tournaments. And then the other thing is that I struggle with at tournaments. I don't do as well as I do when we're just playing casual games here. And so I want to get better at tournament play in general and try and start winning the first round and not the second round.
Do you think you, like, stress out performance anxiety kind of thing? Or you think it's different than that?
I mean,
because, you know, hypothetically, it's the exact same game. So what about tournament environments you think's messing with you?
Well, something that I've struggled with a lot, and I think it's partly because I'm a new player or newer player, is I run into things that I just haven't seen before. Like, one guy, I was crushing him on Rhett, and he was playing a caster that Jeremy doesn't play, and apparently his big thing is assassination, and he can move, like, across the board.
Gareth.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was crushing him, and then he was, like, my caster was far enough back in my mind, and no, apparently not. He was just like, you're dead. And I was like, well, shit.
Yeah, the Gareth assassination, in my experience, is not super high percentage, but it sure does hit you from really far away, and it has that chance.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
That's one of our reasons why we think that for our meta in general, we try to get people playing in the tournaments right away. Because it'll be the quickest way you'll see what's out there.
And you know what?
And the quickest way to learn.
Playing a tournament and going 0-4 or whatever is still a decent use of $5 or $10.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have more fun than you are going to a movie.
You're entertained all day. And, like, because Brian took a year off and Jason doesn't come around as much, I haven't seen him as much. I didn't get a lot of Crix experience, and people play a lot of Crix at tournaments, as it turns out. Shocking, I know.
Well, they're pretty bad, but, you know, people play them anyway.
Yeah, I don't understand
that.
We
try.
So I just going to more tournaments, I guess, to get better at them. So instead of winning the later games, I'm winning the beginning games, which is... Obviously, it's easier to win the later games because you're in a loser's bracket.
Yeah. Some players still don't do that, so you're still halfway there.
Being at that 0-3 table is really kind of rough on the old ego.
Yeah,
and you aren't. I mean, the loser's bracket isn't necessarily filled with, you know, quote unquote losers. I mean, there are people obviously that literally didn't win their first game, but, like, you know, you can go to a tournament and the best player in the world can face the second best player in the world the first round, and guess what? That second best player in the world is now in the loser's bracket.
Yeah.
And you're in round two. That is not, you know, easy peasy.
But anyway, that'll be my goal, to get three casters down. So polishing up on Chromec, mastering Mosar, and then I haven't learned the third one yet.
Should do Morvana. Nobody plays Morvana.
I was actually thinking Morvana.
There's a lot of purification right now, though.
Yeah, but I don't think you want to do that yourself.
Yeah.
No.
You already got one. You got one challenging caster with cast.
I think one of the
really
crew
a lot of purification, though.
Yes,
I mean,
too much.
There's like three casters that have purification.
And they're always used all the time.
Like, the thing is, Legion is going to play Evail.
So she's going to have her
Menoth
other list,
is going to play a purification caster.
Right.
So those two are just straight out for Morvana.
Okay.
Her list in general, Rhett actually does fairly well against.
Well, either way, I haven't decided.
Whatever, yeah.
My suggestion...
I just think that purification is overhyped, because there's not that many, and you have two lists, so as long as your other list can handle the three or four casters that exist that have purification...
Well, you can get tied down, too. You know what I mean? Like, if you run into two in a row that have purification, then I'll...
Well, if we're doing Divide and Conquer, but that's not that common.
Oh,
it's pretty common.
Most tournaments I've been to
is it more Divide and Conquer?
Yeah, it's unfortunately.
I don't know.
I think some of the more Masters-related events, but most of the regular tournaments,
like,
I don't have Divide and Conquer.
All the competitive events I've been to in 2012 had Divide and Conquer.
Maybe I've just been assuming it's Divide
and
Conquer.
And Chicago does it for their
events. Yeah, Chicago did it. We did it for several of our events.
No.
Yeah.
We did it for
the Mayhem Cup, and we did it for one other, I thought. Like our
but
big,
maybe
our big
like one of the Krugers, too.
Maybe.
I think the Krugers are a good choice. They're both good.
And then also to win more at tournaments, so go to more tournaments in general.
Yeah.
Moving on to someone else.
You guys. Seriously.
They have no goals.
All right,
guys,
Andy and Brian's goal is to gesticulate mutely at each other for the next 5 minutes.
I've been only waving my hand at him to go, and him waving for me to go
was
not good.
You're having a polite off.
Yes, we were like, no, you go, good sir. No, you go.
No, I was going to do rock, paper, scissors,
but
I was just showing you rock
That'll
the entire time.
That'll be very enjoyable for all of our listeners.
You're swinging a hammer at him.
Yeah, I can just do play-by-play.
Yeah. I have flipped an imaginary coin and chosen Brian.
All right, so my goals for next year, well, I have to play 100 games of StarCraft II, a board game.
Sure. That is not...
No, that is an important goal.
It is an important goal.
That's my number
one
goal of next
year.
I'm 100 games of it, and
then... Dude, that's 2 a week on
average. And whoever wins the most games, I'm going to give $100 to.
Ooh.
Like $100 from your pocket, or is there like a pool going on?
I'll out of my pocket.
Ooh.
Wait, you're going to give $100. So knowing the Brian definition of give, are they going to have to pay you $100?
Damn it.
Here you go. You owe me $100.
I thought I had him.
With interest.
Well, War Machine related, I am going to primarily focus on Crix. I will dabble in Scorn a little bit since they have, like, you know, Scorn is getting some neat toys next year. I mean, I can't ignore.
Yeah.
I keep track of all my games, so I'm going to try to make sure I keep my record the same. I was within only 3 or 4% difference win record with Scorn with Crix, and I'm proud of that because
And I won, I mean, every year, the last couple of years, I've won one event at a major con, which I'm pretty happy with. Never, yep. You know, but so I, you know, hopefully can try that again. But I'm also going to be playing, I'm going to focus on casters like Scavaris and some other non, I mean, it's fun to take E-Gaspy or Gaspy 2 and beat someone, but, you know, you don't really, it's like, ooh, I went with E-Gaspy 2, I'm, wow. Big deal.
Yeah, well done.
I shot somebody in the head with it. You know, I went to a knife fight with a gun. Surprise, I won. So, and I really want to get good with the Coven Theme Force, the original, not the new one, although the new one's, you know, maybe. But I'm going to play some Coven, going to play some Scavaris, I'm going to play around the skies. I'm just going to try to play and, you know, see how the year goes. But I just really want to focus on, I think Scavaris is really cool in potential, and I want to do a lot with him. And I want to try to just, like most, I haven't put Bane Thralls on the table yet this year, which is a little weird.
Really?
They may have been in my Who's the Boss list, but that's such a weird format.
Well, that's different.
But I haven't put them. I mean, I played 10. Well, I've only played 10 games in the last month, but I mean, they haven't touched the table yet.
I'm just shocked.
Well, you've been doing a lot of Sidixis Raiders.
I'm doing a lot of Raiders, and honestly, as much as I love Raiders, I hate command checks because when you play Krix, you don't want to follow the rules of the game, and I hate rules.
What is the command on the Raiders with
you? Well, with us, they're usually your nines, but that's not good enough.
You take Quill. Scar their Infinity.
Yeah, so just play Scar.
Right. Yeah, I'll play with. I mean, I am painting a second unit for my E-Scar theme force, and I want to play that. But no, I'm just gonna play a lot of Krix. I'm gonna take Krix to all the big events. I'll probably take Scar into a few events, just, you know, local events. I do want to definitely. I mean, Chicago got away. You know, they actually won some of their own events this year when we went there. So that
that's not allowed.
That
no.
seemed inappropriate to us.
It was.
I mean, that just seemed wrong. I mean, those guys actually are getting better at the game. I don't really understand what's happening there. They're actually, you know, they've gained skill and knowledge, and they play a lot. And
I feel like Vikings that like went to go raid a village, and they're like, well, they're shooting back. What's happening here? We're supposed to just take all their stuff. And...
Yeah, now they're actually, you know, they've become decent.
Well, I knew it was a bad sign when we went and we brought 2 cards worth of people, and the only people that went 2-0 were me. I'd like to just emphasize that me,
yeah.
and Carnage,
yeah.
Like that's just that's a bad sign.
I wasn't on that trip.
You were not on that trip. I think you were working that day.
Yeah,
and most of us that did lose it. We did run over. We surprisingly, E-Gaspy's who slowed us all down. But anyway,
yeah, it's funny how that works.
That'll happen. But no, my goal is just to try to keep maintaining what I did last year. Hopefully, I'm not going to as many big cons this year. So I'm just, for lots of reasons. So I'm not. I doubt I'll be able to do that. I'm going to try to qualify for War Machine Weekend. We're going to have a couple qualifiers near here, and Iowa's going to have a qualifier. But, you know, hopefully I can qualify, but I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty fun event to plan, so.
I'll be honest. I'll actually be super, super disappointed in our meta if we don't get at least one or two people qualified for War Machine Weekend.
We've had someone in there every year so far.
Exactly. And we have enough good players that one of us should be able to get that done.
Well, the player base is getting better and better overall, so it's harder and harder every year, which is great.
I could mix my two goals, and I could qualify for War Machine Weekend with my pigs.
If I will pay you $50 if you make it into... I'm going to state right now, and I don't give, like Brian. I'll give you the actual $50.
I'll give you $50.
If you qualify for War Machine Weekend with pigs, $50.
All right.
Or $50 of, nice, you know, War Machine...
I'll give you my copy of War of the Ring.
I'll buy you some bacon.
Oh, my God. Bacon, dinner, $50, and War of the
War
Ring.
Of the Ring.
Like, this is happening now.
And if Jeremy wins a tournament, I will be shocked. That's my counter offer to Jeremy.
I like the fact that you think my odds are good enough. You don't actually offer something.
Jeremy, if you win a tournament, I will give you a disbelieving stare.
Hey,
free of charge.
Hey, I did win the 6-pack event. Turns out showing up really is half the battle.
Yeah, yeah. You're sure lucky people I knew died.
And that was a pretty nice prize.
It was a great prize. A free colossal. That was a fantastic prize. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, the 6-pack event was a set of 6 tournaments we ran here in Madison, and I think I was the only player that made it to all 6. And I do know, at the very least, the 2 people that got 2nd and 3rd both missed at least one event. I think 2nd place missed 2?
Yeah, I think so.
I think Travis missed 2.
Travis, yeah.
Because so, he did really well. And I won the whole thing by a point against someone that missed 2 of the 6 events. So yeah. Showing up is half the battle.
But, you know, but it was a fun. The 6-pack was great. We were very lucky in events and formats last year. And hopefully,
we had some great stuff.
We'll probably run another one this next year, too.
Yeah.
I would participate again.
More t-shirts.
Yeah, the t-shirts are cool.
So my goals are very vague. Play more board games and hopefully just do well with Crix. There's a shocking thing. I want to do well with Crix. Wow.
That's good hard luck with that.
Way to set the bar high. Wow.
Like I said, I am trying. I want to just play other off things. I want the, you know, I think it'd be fun to play the Coven. I haven't played them much, but they're very finesse.
Yeah.
Well, their feat's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's almost as good as Rask's.
Well, yeah, except it's
a strictly worse version of Rask's.
Well, they have more focus than he has Fury, so...
Well, sometimes.
His is still better because it's...
Well, yeah, we haven't lost any. Yeah.
Yes.
His is still better, but I'm just saying there's an argument to be made there.
Well, that's all I have, so we can... All
right, Andy.
Andy, you have nobody to stare at and do rock, scissors, papers. It's your turn.
Damn it. I got nothing to... Nothing to. Oh, I got no more goals for next year.
Oh my god!
No recommendations.
No goals this week. You don't want to talk about why you play your factions because you play all of them, and it'd be like an intervention.
Damn it!
He's just the man behind the microphone. Don't look behind the curtain.
Don't look behind the curtain.
I'm gonna set up a curtain. I'm gonna be like from the Karate Kid. I'm gonna walk around with that shower curtain outfit. You know, just open it once in a while.
That'd be great.
What?
You've never seen
the remember from
the Karate Kid Halloween party.
He's in the shower.
He's in the shower curtain.
Oh, yeah. We went from Wizard of Oz to Karate Kid, and I got whiplash, and I couldn't keep track. I remember the skeleton costumes that the bad guys were
wearing. Everyone remembers those.
Do they have Halloween in Austria?
I don't know. We have to, let's call up.
They're probably all high.
Well,
so
Jeremy,
make sure
you let us
know.
They're already all dressed up as pirates.
And kangaroos.
Right, that's true.
So,
yes.
No need for
Halloween. No, there's no kangaroos. So for Halloween, they all dress up as kangaroos.
You know, I was going to bring you guys back, like something from Australia, but screw all of you.
I've been to the Caribbean already.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, let's go to our next topic.
No. I actually do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Excellent.
Yeah, no.
So,
oh my
God.
I thought that was how
we
were
going to
segue all the time is Andy,
Andy
I've got nothing. I've got nothing to talk about.
Hey, Andy, don't pound on the table.
Yeah,
the
really?
Person
oh,
running the
gosh.
Person running the podcast sound effects told me that I shouldn't pound on the table. So I thought I'd let you know that because you were just doing that.
Oh,
wow.
No. Yeah.
All right. Wasted by your own petard.
No, my next goals for the next year will be to have a fully painted army.
Whoa.
Wow.
Bold.
You're going to pick a faction and do that? Or?
I'm going to pick a faction, and I am going to have a fully painted army.
Gotcha. So like 50 points total. Or 250 points. You should go with 250 points.
I'm going to start with 50 points first. Actually, I'm going to start with painting my beasts that I've taken great efforts into converting.
Yeah, because they look amazing.
Yeah. And then other projects I have for my casters and that I plan on painting those. The only way to really do my work justice is to paint it.
I agree.
Because otherwise, it's going to look just like, oh, that looks neat. Good job.
No,
even your avatar looked good once you painted it.
Even unpainted, that extreme Earthborn you did is amazing.
Oh, that's just the normal Earthborn.
But the finger, like the pointing finger and everything.
No,
and
that's all normal Earthborn.
I thought you like...
No.
Well, except for the plastic. The plastic
you're
hands.
The term extreme is making it sound like he used Mauler bits or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's 100%.
And then he's also got
Earthborn.
The extreme Mulg, who is about the size of a Mountain King.
Yeah. No. No, he's actually the Earthborn's larger than the extreme Mulg.
Mulg looks huge.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he's very... bulky.
Well, that's stone on his back.
The Earthborn looks slender when he's standing up and pointing like you have him modeled.
True. But those guys will look amazing painted.
Yeah, and that's my goal to do that. I also have a hidden project I'm working on as well that not many people know about, and I want to try to unveil that for some kind of hardcore event.
Cool.
So
excellent.
My goal is to eventually, as part of my goal to do fully painted, I wasn't banging.
He was caressing the table.
Caressing the table. But my other part of the goal there is to make it to a hardcore event. In order for me to do that, I have to have a fully painted force.
It's true.
So that's partially my goal.
You going to Adepticon or no?
I'm not going to be done by Adepticon. Okay. I'm going to be running stuff there.
Oh, okay, cool.
My brother's getting married that weekend, like the following weekend, so I have to decide which of those two events I'm skipping.
I feel like your brother's not that important.
Well, what's dumb is he's like...
I skipped my brother's wedding.
The ceremony is on... the party's on Saturday, but the ceremony's on Thursday.
What?
So he's like, all the people who are standing up in the ceremony have to be there on Thursday to climb up into the Rocky Mountains to do the ceremony, and then it's just like hang out for 2 days, and then the party's on Saturday.
Were you like on a summit or something? Were you actually
like
mountain climbing all
like,
the way
well,
to the
no,
top?
Like, and then drive up.
I was going to say,
I see you're in the wedding.
I do not recommend you hike up a mountain.
Yeah. This is, I'm...
Wow.
This is, yeah.
That was harsh.
I have a swimmer's physique, thank you very much.
Oh, do you?
Manatees swim.
Are you going to be doing a lot of rock climbing in Austria?
I wanted to do some rock climbing while we were out there, but
it's all volcanic
we wound up
rock,
not doing
right?
that.
Yeah,
mostly.
It seems dangerous.
Like
I love rock climbing.
You gonna try to find the
no,
hobbits?
No, get it because it could explode.
Yeah, go destroy the One Ring. Is that what you're traveling to Austria
one of the
to
things,
do?
One of the things we're gonna see in New Zealand, which sounds nothing
I
like
thought
Austria.
You're going to Austria.
That's kind of a long drive.
God damn
it is a long drive.
Is where they
what
film
happens
Lord of the Rings.
If there are sheep that are blocking the road? What do we do?
I don't trust Australian sheep.
Yeah, definitely don't. Yeah.
I'm serious. That is a trouble.
Completely, yes.
Is that another one of those animals that will eat you?
No, Australian sheep.
What?
Black sheep. Not the one with Chris Farley, the other black sheep.
It's
great film.
Australian horror movie.
It's a documentary about what happens when sheep go bad.
Yeah.
All right, then.
It may
spoiler
or not
alert,
actually be
not
a documentary.
Good.
I figured.
The movie's good.
No,
the
it's
sheep
good.
Going
yeah.
evil
sheep,
is not good.
Sheep going evil is not good. The movie's great.
Yes.
All right, then.
When you watch, it's a mind-blowing movie. Highly recommend.
All right, so
that's
not
going to
recommendation yet.
that's just a life thing you should do.
Yes.
I have one more mini goal.
Oh, mini goal. Let's hear it.
I need to defeat Chad from Iowa in Game of War Machine.
You haven't?
Well, the first time we played, I played Crick versus his trolls. I never seen someone tilt or rage more in my life than he did against me, and that sort of caused some kind of karmic shift. So whenever I play him, I mentally remember him getting so mad at me that I can't. Either I play poorly when I play him, or when I roll dice, it's only ones.
Just be careful, because he will abuse the death clock to cheat you out of a game.
Chad is a son of a bitch. I'm just telling you.
He did that to me at the Mayhem Cup. I had him beat, and he's like, oh, I didn't flip the clock over, so just watch for that.
He tricked me once into charging his caster with no fury with, like, 9 Bane Knights, or Bane Thralls, and not being able to even, like, do more than, like, 5 points of damage. He's very subtle.
He fell for his cunning
plan. I fell for his plan.
His dad, so, you know, he's got the dice on his side.
So my goal is to defeat him in combat, whether in-game or in any kind of game. I must defeat him.
Knife fight at the next Mayhem
I need to balance out my karma against him.
You hear that,
right,
Gad?
Now,
Brian's coming for
I'm
you.
I'm coming for you. He dodged me. Who's the boss? I was in a champ.
Wow.
I challenged him first round, and he dropped out of the event.
Fat Asian and I still haven't played because you wouldn't let me.
Yes,
I was
going to
play him round 4, and you're like, no, I want to play him.
You weren't even at the event. You were running things.
Yeah.
You couldn't have played.
I could have played.
You would have caused a buy.
Did you even have an army there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, sure. I brought it because I loaned like half of it to other people.
He was our odd man out for the Who's the Boss.
Ah, okay.
But it turned out that we were even.
Yeah. So, that's
pretty much it. The other thing is to try to play Trollbloods for me for most of the year.
Try to play Trollbloods?
Yeah. Continually play Trollbloods for the most of the year.
Wow. Yeah. So, like, doing Brian Scorn thing for a year?
Well,
that seems hard for somebody
that's binary
that
and more like he has 9.
I was going to say, it seems like someone who owns as many factions as you, that would be difficult.
Yeah.
And he's still a Menoth player in my head. Menoth and Legion.
Oh, my other goal is to organize my models to find out what I actually own.
Yes.
That is amazing.
To find out what you own. Like, the fact that that's something you need to do. Like, there's just these piles. You need to do archaeological excavations this back of this basement to find hidden caches.
He found his Ravagor easily when I needed one.
Yeah. Well, he has, a lot of them.
Yeah, I would imagine. Did you see my new Ravagor, by the way?
No.
Marshall painted it. My new color scheme is the Patriots.
That's great.
It's awesome.
You know what I think about that?
Fine. You can cheat and lose also.
Exactly what I think. Oh, it smells like barbecue.
I feel like you make poor decisions.
Well, okay then.
All right.
I think that's enough
so
debacles.
Good goals for everybody?
Yeah, good goals. So
Moving on.
Oh my God. I swear to God, if that becomes
moving
like some catchphrase or something.
Hey, Nathan,
what's wrong?
Moving on.
And fancy free.
Don't ever do that again.
It's the Muppets, man.
Oh, yeah, don't care. Don't sing.
Oh, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. You gotta love it.
I don't.
Aurora Borealis, shining down to Dallas. Can you picture that? Come on, that song's amazing. Muppet Show theme. Anyway, Katie, talk. Corner. You got 2 minutes. Go.
Hey, right.
Corner.
I want to talk about timing at tournaments and in casual play. I think it's something important. I think it's something that everybody should learn. And I think that it's something that comes as you play more just because you learn what your models do. And so you're not like looking at your card to be like, oh, he's a mat 6 or he's defense. Timing is important because you're going to run out on your clock and then you're going to lose the game or you're going to feel rushed and you're going to choke or you're going to tilt or you're going to do something that you otherwise would not have done if you had given yourself enough time to think. So, in preparing for that, study your cards a little bit, know what your mats are, know what your strength is, what your POW is, know how much fury your beasts have. I will say, and this is where you guys will have to jump in, hordes is a lot easier to learn just because we don't have as much infantry generally.
I'd agree.
Whereas War Machine, it's like Germano has his halberdiers and then his mage hunters, and you have to do each one's little hit, and I'm just like three beasts and then some blood trackers and then some shrimp, and then we're done.
Yeah. No, I would agree. I think keeping track of one beast stats is easier. And then also if you have a unit of infantry attacking five different things, trying to remember the math in your head is harder. And
yeah. The other thing to learn is, so I've noticed people do this and it really bothers me, is I'll tell them my mat and then I'll roll and then I wait for them to tell me if I hit or not. And that's stupid because I'm, one, relying on my opponent to be honest with me, which hopefully they would be anyway, but also on their math.
Yeah.
But also I'm taking up my time for them to do math, where we could just, he could just tell me his defense and his armor in the first place, and then I can just subtract it and then subtract the dice. So that's much easier than adding in my mind to know that I have to hit a five. Did I hit a five? Yes. And well, move on.
And that's funny. That's kind of an interesting thing that, and it's so second nature. Like with new players, I always forget it. It's like, we're doing stuff. We're like, all right, dice minus five, like when rolling damage, and new players are like, I have no idea what that means.
Right.
Because, you know, the official rules of the game is my POW is 13, your armor is 18, I'm rolling two dice, I'm adding it to 13, now I'm subtracting 18 from that, and that's the damage that I'm doing. Which all of us who've been playing for a while know that that's dice minus five.
Correct.
You roll your dice, subtract five, and that's quicker and easier math, and that's a huge timing thing also, like you're talking about.
Right. Then the other thing that I learned later on is, if you think that you're running out of time, not so much on your turn, but on the game in general at tournaments, boost to hits. Or as opposed to having more hits, boost your damage rolls. Because then you don't have to roll as many dice. And so if you think the game is about to end soon and you have to kill their caster or their main beast or whatever before that game ends, then boost your damage. Don't waste time buying additional attacks.
Yeah, no. As long as it doesn't screw you on your chance to kill them, obviously.
I mean, if it's one of those things where it's really close, like it could go either way on buying more attacks or boosting the damage, just always boost the damage.
Yeah, like I think what you're thinking of, like I walked up on your one tournament game and she had Getarex with no fury used yet, charged up to a caster that had like no camp, and it was just like, and I'm standing there, and she's like, I'm gonna do one attack, oh I missed, I'm gonna do one attack, oh I hit, now I'm not gonna boost the damage. I was like, boost one hit, boost one damage, and Getarex just chops his head off, and we all go home.
Right. Well, that, even if normally, mathematically, like, you're like, I do X more damage by buying attacks versus boosting damage, like you're saying, like, sometimes there's only 30 seconds left, you're not going to get those five attacks anyway.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yep.
And then another thing that I've noticed that people do, and it drives me nuts, is speaking about games about to end, is if they know that if you get your next turn, you're going to win, they will fiddle with their models a really long time, waiting for their clock to end. And that's
what you're describing is somebody just stalling out the game because they know how long.
Somebody stalling out the game, yeah. But not doing it so overtly that it's illegal at that point. You know what I mean?
A huge pet peeve I have is I've run several events, you know, including stuff at like Adepticon and War Machine Weekend and stuff like that, like, you know, important events. And I am unhappy that to this day no one has ever called me over about stalling. And I know it happens. It happens a lot.
Yep.
People do it and nobody calls it. And you're not a dickhead if you do it. Yep. I mean, and you don't have to be a dickhead. You're like, dude, come on, you're taking way too much time than you need taking. You know, like, pick up the pace a little bit. I mean,
I'm very good at calling my opponents on that. If they are going slow, I'm like, I won't be a dickhead. I'm like, okay, we have to hurry up here. We know there's not much time left, whatever. And I won hardcore Daikon this last year. I would have lost that tournament if my third round opponent would have stalled for 10 seconds. We both knew there was no time left, and he did his turn extraordinarily fast. This is Alex from Springfield.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
And we both knew there was seconds left, and he activated his turn. He had like 3 miles, and he did his turn in like 25 seconds, and he could have easily taken a minute. I mean, he could have said, well, I need to think just for a second. I mean, it would have been so easy, and he didn't do that. And then I won the game. I was able to go on for the whole thing. But because he didn't stall, even for that minute moment, you know. And yeah. I've seen you lose a game because you didn't stall.
Yeah, the first Mayhem Cup against Beanish. Yep. And that's one of my proudest moments in this game was losing a game. Because we both knew there was a minute left in that game.
Yeah, I mean,
and it was my turn. And I could have taken a minute to activate McBain, but instead I took 30 seconds. And then he used his 30 seconds to break an objective and win the game.
Yeah, and there's a fine line between taking a couple seconds to think and stalling, and you knew the difference there. You knew that you didn't need the time, so you just simply ended it. But it's some players would be like, oh, they'll just do whatever for a few seconds.
I think there's a big difference, though. I think some people might do it maliciously, but I think there's some people who honestly don't think that way. I mean, like myself, I take a good time to think about my moves, but it doesn't take me very long to execute.
Right.
So, I mean, it may look like I'm stalling. I'm not. I'm actually doing thought process, but then I go out and actually play the models.
I did that in a game, too. Like, I won a game through what, could have from the outside looked like stalling. Like, I realized afterwards, because it was a game where I was winning, but the attrition was starting to go. I had one scenario point, and it was 1-2, and the attrition was going against me more and more, and I was going down, and my caster was eventually getting killed, and I'm down to, like, I have 4 models left. I need to score a point this turn. He has, like, 4 models in the zone. I need to do this and this. I need to figure out a way. And it was like one of those when No Quarter had the puzzles, where it was like, there's one way you can do this. How do you do it? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm spending most of my time doing math. I'm like, no, that won't work. I need to rewind. What if I do this spell? No, that won't work. What if I do this? What if I do that? And so I did think for, like, 4 or 5 minutes, and then I start to move my first model to go with the plan that had a 30% chance of working versus all the 20% ones I'd thrown away, and I go to start moving the model, and dice down, win on tiebreak with 1 point. And, yeah. Like, it wasn't on purpose. And that's right. Sometimes it's malicious, sometimes it's not.
You can usually tell when somebody's really just kind of thinking about it, as opposed to, like, I played against one opponent where it's like he was moving. He wasn't thinking before he moved his models. He was moving his models slowly, and there was a gap in between each time he would move a model. And sure. It's like you either just don't have a plan, or you are just intentionally taking a long time.
You're just shuffling around to
yeah. Kinda... Because I had already won the game if I could get to my turn. Like, right. The game was won. It was, yeah. And he was just kind of shuffling him around.
Yeah.
The other thing, if you're a new player, to keep in mind, if somebody else doesn't know their cards and you ask them something like defense or armor or how many hit points do they have, and they shuffle around looking for their card, you can shut down your timer. Oh, yeah. That is not your responsibility for you to take your time because they don't know their card.
Or on Death Clock as well, you can pass the clock over to them. That's actually one of the great things about Death Clock in general, is that you don't... It kind of alleviates stalling, in a sense, because that's your time that you're using on your turn. If you run out of time, that's it. You're dead.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love about Death Clock, is there is no stall.
Yeah.
There's no point to stalling in Death Clock.
Although it almost has the reverse problem. Well, it does. Some people think so. Like, I don't think it's as bad as some make it out, but like, if you're tabling somebody and they have fewer models, they use up less time on Death Clock, so yep. All of a sudden they're taking 30 seconds on their turn, and then you're taking a lot longer because you still have more models. In my mind, that's kind of an excuse, because if you're tabling that badly, you should find a way to kill them or win the scenario.
Or win the scenario. Yeah. Exactly.
Especially that's... with like more winnable scenarios in 2013, as we've seen in the betas.
Because, with the new version, I agree. Yeah. Because the old way, you could take 3 seconds, focus camp, and hide your caster, but with the changes coming, that'll alleviate the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully, yes.
Yeah, I would agree.
And really, you should only have like 2 turns where you're at your max.
Yeah.
That's your, like, your second or your third one when, like, everyone collides for the first... Like, everyone's army is still all out there.
Yeah.
If you need more time than that, then you're probably playing too slow. You probably don't know your models well enough yet.
Yeah.
I mean, probably. There are... like, when Nathan was doing his math thing, where it took him a really long time...
Hurts my brain.
It does.
I've
special situations, but for the most part, it shouldn't take your whole time.
And there are things you can do before the game to make that easier. Like, one of my personal things that I really don't like when I run into at a tournament that's a time tournament is the people that keep all of their cards in a notebook in baseball card sleeves, like 9 cards to a page. Like, I understand that that's a thing a lot of people do, and I get that where they're coming from on that, but it makes it really super hard for you to find your cards quickly on my turn and on your turn. It makes it hard for you to find it to mark damage. It makes it hard for you to figure out what your own stats are. Like, what most people that I've seen that are able to play quickly, now I have seen people that can play quickly that way, but they're people that just know their cards cold. Like, right. If you're learning your cards, the people that I've seen that can play quickly are the people that basically get all their cards in individual sleeves, and they're basically just in a row in front of them. And it may take them a second to find the card. Like, sometimes if you're running 3 of the same beast, or like you're running 3 stalkers in your case, sure, you got to be careful you keep each stalker card kind of behind that beast so you know which one it is. But in general, that's going to be way quicker than being like, all right, I have 4 pages of cards. I think it's on. No, it's not that. No.
Well, the thing is, you know, time before, don't be afraid to pause the clock whenever your opponent's doing something. I mean, and you're not a jerk by doing it. Like, if you're playing against somebody playing pirates or trolls, when they're making their tough, it's one thing if you're like killing, they're like doing their tough checks quick, and you're like moving along, and you guys are making good use of time. But like, if their tough check consists of, well, okay, let me grab the die, and I'm gonna roll the die, and then he didn't pass his tough check. I mean, that only took 2 seconds there, but if you're killing 50 guys, you know, I mean, that really, really adds up.
Yeah.
It's not a jerk move to say, tough check, click, pause it. Yeah. And then he dies. Like, okay, click, and then can go on with your turn.
Yep.
What I did, or when I first started, all of my guys were defense 14. Every single model I used was defense 14, except for like 2 or 3 of them.
Made your life easy?
Made my life really easy whenever they asked. 14. The other thing that I still do is I line all my cards up, and they all line up in the same order. It's my caster, then my beasts, then my light beasts, then any infantry, and then stones.
Solos. Yep.
Well, solos go right after beasts.
Gotcha, sure.
But,
sure.
I mean, the point is, like, I know where in my list to look for it, whereas I think what people run into with the cards is they don't arrange it to where their army is, and so if they switch out somebody, now it's on page 6 instead of page 2.
Yep. No, I agree.
Yeah. One thing I do, too, with kind of helping out my opponent with their, is if you have a lot of tough, be on the ball with your tough checks. I mean, me playing trolls, I know that I'm going to be rolling a tough check. So the second I see my opponent's dice hitting the table, I'll roll a tough check right along with it. And they might not even kill my guy, but I have that roll done right there with no time wasted.
One thing that you can do a lot, depending on what's happening, like with sprays or AoEs or continuous effects or things like that, is if you have multiple different color dice. Like, I have red dice I do for damage and then a blue that I use for location. And so when I have, like, 4 guys die, I'm like, all right, red, blue, and I roll the red and the, like, I'll point to the 2 guys, this guy's red, this guy's blue, and I'll roll them both. And they'll say, now this guy's red, this guy's blue, and I'll roll them both. And it speeds it up a lot.
Yep.
It's kind of along the lines of people rolling all their damage and their location at the same time. You got multiple colored dice, feel free to do that. I do that for the expiration and for the tough checks.
The one last thing that I want to mention, and then we can move on because I know one of our topics ran over a little bit, is this happened to me. So when you're done with your turn, you pick up the clock and you switch it over to their turn.
Yeah.
Because what happened to me is I didn't do that in one tournament, and the guy won, and the guy ended up taking first. It was like a little mingled metal tournament, so it didn't matter. But he ended up winning, and I think I actually won the game, except for he never started his clock. Didn't start it. And it was only like a 20-minute game. And so, you know, that extra 30 seconds is a big deal.
Yeah. And I agree. I think, in fact, if you can, I know not everybody, like, it sounds silly to say it's a financial problem to buy your own timer, but I understand that, like, buying and bringing your own timer can be a pain for some people. Bring your own timer so that you know for a fact there will be 2 timers at your table. Because having a timer for mine that I can just, I'll deal with this in a minute here, let me set your timer, go, and I'll deal with this one, actually makes a big difference. Or, and this is why I bought one, is I bought one you can actually tell what time it says it is, because no offense to UPGs that are on the podcast or listening, most events have these timers where the display is so small.
Dollar store timers.
Yeah, they're dollar store timers.
And they're just so small that I can't tell looking at it how much time I have left. Or if it's running, or anything like that. So I bought one that's for, like, partially blind people with giant readout.
Well, even well, so, yeah.
They I mean, lay flat instead of like this.
Also that, yeah.
No, they have a little click-out thing that lets them stand. People just don't bother to use it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the flip side is I was about to recommend buying one of those. Like, you know, if you don't have a timer in your War Machine transport bag, go spend $1 at the dollar store at least, or spend more if you want to get a nicer one. And have a timer, because the best way to get better at playing with timed turns is to play with timed turns. And there's no reason at your local, casual, weekly War Machine fun events or with games with your roommates or whatever to not just say, hey, we'll just play with 12-minute turns. They're nice casual lengths, but it gets you used to the concept of using your timed turns. Because people play these casual games, and they run 3 hours long, and you're taking half-hour-long turns. It's, you know, what's fine. You're eating pizza, drinking beer, and relaxing or whatever. But then you go to an event, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm activated 1 unit, and my timer's beeping.
Yeah, I have a belief that no one wins a 3-hour game.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Society as a whole loses when 3-hour games exist.
After 3 hours of my games, I have the nearest model to my caster kill my caster.
I could have played 2 games in that time. Yeah.
But, I mean, with the exception of new players,
yeah,
obviously, because they're learning, it's fine, and you go through that. But, I mean, when I play like a normal player, and it's for 3 hours, I'm like, it's over.
Yeah. Don't freak yourself out. Like, if you honestly don't know the stats of any of your cards yet, because you've been playing a month and a half, don't freak yourself out trying to play timed turns. But guess what? If you've been playing 4 months and you still don't know your stats, maybe you should sit down and read your card.
Well, and it is kind of like a sink or swim kind of thing, though, because once you start playing time turns, you get better at recalling that stuff. And what's funny is that, like, as you play more, and it's you can tell more veteran players, and, like, I've had new players flat out say, like, it's amazing. They think this is some, like, Superman-level skill. Is like, I can see a unit, my opponent has a unit out that I haven't faced before or whatever, not very often. Like, those guys, speed 6, mat 6, defense 12, armor 14 with reach and magical weapon. I'm like, yeah, that's true. Like, you can just tell.
Yeah.
You can kind of get a vibe from looking at the unit, what the role they feel is, and you'll be within a, you know, maybe these guys are mat 7 because they're super, you know, good, or maybe they're 12, 15, or 11, whatever. But you can get super close, usually, by kind of guessworky. And once you get to that point with your own models and other models, it helps a lot.
One thing I did, and this is more on a new player thing for time, when I was super new and bad at remembering any of the stats, let alone my own or the opponent's, I would, right on my cards in marker, I would be like, all right, so my halberdiers, which I was always using because I was playing Rhett, need this to hit this unit and this to crack their armor and this to hit this other unit and this to hit, crack their armor. And I would write like 6, 4 and then like 5, 8 right on the card underneath each other. And I would just know if I'm attacking that unit on the left, they need a 6 to hit and a 4 to kill it. And if they hit this other unit, they need a 5 to hit it, and then they need to hit an 8 to crack the armor.
Hmm.
And it was fantastic for me. Like, I would just, like, the first time I did it, I would just write it down. And that, I heard that on a podcast or something. Somebody recommended it.
That's kind of cool.
And it was a fantastic idea. I don't feel like I need it as often anymore, unless I'm playing someone that has just, like, 15 solos or whatever. But it was fantastic when I was new.
I'm happy to hear it wasn't your idea.
It was not.
Because it was like, oh, that's kind of a good idea. Oh, he stole it. Okay, good.
Wow, yeah, I know. Jeremy had a thought.
Hey, I was right twice last week.
That's true.
Twice.
Valid point.
What the hell with Spirit Door? Like,
I know.
Out of nowhere.
I know.
To be like fair, no one plays Kaya 1 anymore. So, to be fair.
Katie really likes her.
Yeah, but it's Katie.
I don't like her.
She likes you.
That's true.
So she has interesting taste.
Yeah.
Wow. Love you too, Ben. Love you too. All right.
Yeah. So I think that pretty much covers it. So moving on, recommendations.
Sweet.
I know, Jeremy, you had some recommendation about, like, boobs and stuff.
Ugh, I do love boobs, but that's not my recommendation.
Or traveling to Australia. Or Austria.
All right. So, in all seriousness, my recommendation is actually a smartphone game. It's called Blood Brothers, and I spend just a ridiculous amount of time playing it. It's just a silly little... it doesn't really do it justice to call it Pokemon-esque, but it's Pokemon-esque in that you capture different monsters or whatever, and you level them up, and you combine them to make stronger monsters, and it's really fun, and I really enjoy it. I introduced Katie to it. She really enjoyed it for about 3 days and then stopped playing it, but my brother still plays it. I introduced him to it, and it's a fun little game. It's called Blood Brothers. It's great. If you hate it, great, fine, but I really enjoy it, and so that's my recommendation.
Please respond and tell us if you hate it so we can make fun of Jeremy.
Yes.
Very important.
Yes, feel free to mock me or tell me I'm awesome because I gave you the best recommendation for killing time at work ever.
I went and saw The Hobbit, and I don't think it was as good as you said it was. Mm. It had dumb giants with dwarves on their knees and poo-faced people.
The stone giants thing I could have done without.
Although, the seventh doctor had poo on his face.
Well, I don't watch Doctor Who, but the poo was a little distracting.
Yeah.
I think it was perfect for Radagast. I think it was absolutely perfect
poo.
For the type
of poo
Radagast,
on the side
the
of his
entire
face.
Right side of his face was all
like,
white because it was bird poo.
Yeah.
Because he had a bird's nest in his hair, which was cool.
Yep,
but
yep.
Like,
no, I
was,
remember that.
Like, I would admire like a little, but it was literally the entire right side of his face looked like a kabuki mask.
I like how we didn't say spoiler alert, by the way.
Okay, there's a guy with poo on his face.
That's because he has a
he has a bird's nest up in his head. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, there's the spoiler. He does have a bird's nest in his head.
No, that's what they do in Austria.
Yes. Oh, God. The Austrians all keep birds in their hat and poo on their faces.
Yep. It's in his hair, not on his face.
I really think of somebody with that mindset that he has that
wouldn't care.
That's true.
He's just happy that birds are living with him.
I was just happy with Sylvester McCoy because he's my favorite doctor.
Fair enough.
But I'm gonna piggyback and steal Jeremy's thunder because I'm also gonna recommend a phone app.
But I did it first.
It's also available for tablets, and there's an older version it's only $1 like for tablets and phones, but there's an older version you can download for free on the PC, so everybody should at least do the PC one. Which is, Brian knows where I'm going. EnviroBear.
Oh god.
EnviroBear 2000. Which is arguably the best one limbed bear driving a car simulator available for your PC and iPad.
Somebody please post
it
another one-armed bear driving game so that we control him with it.
It is amazing. It's so fun.
I always run into trees.
You run into trees and then badgers fall in your car and they're like eating you and you're like roaring. You have to throw it out of the car and then there's bees and pine cones and rocks get caught under your I almost said throttle. It's not a. It's accelerator. Like an accelerator. Yeah. And then it starts snowing, and there's fish and everything. Oh, it's amazing. And then you run over the mushroom, and you eat the mushroom, and everything gets super real, man.
Yeah, it does.
Like I said, it's a buck, and it's awesome. And the one for the PC is free, and it's also awesome. And, yeah, like I said, it's amazing. Do it. It's free. Do it. Play it for an hour and then delete it. I don't care. But everybody should
like
at least play it for an hour.
One bit graphics. You're going to love this.
Yeah, it does have one bit graphics.
Oh, God damn it, Envirobear. I might switch my icon to Envirobear. As fetch as Gretchen Wieners is, I might switch my Muzon Minis icon to Envirobear.
I need to do the whatever it is.
Fetch isn't a word.
Fetch is totally a word.
Fetch is not.
Fetch.
It costs $1 to get an icon.
I know.
There,
I just keep forgetting.
I refuse to do it.
Yeah, I haven't done it.
They have to.
Whatever.
Well, that's because Brian doesn't give a dollar. He gives a dollar in return.
Yeah, they mail me a dollar. I will think about getting an icon.
Well, you know, I'll take a dollar out of Fat Asian's hide or something. He let me crash at his house once for a Mayhem Cup. So
I'm officially invited to stay at his house next time I come to Iowa, both Katie and I.
There you go. That's worth a dollar.
It's going to be a party.
You know what else is worth a dollar?
What?
EnviroBear 2000, arguably the best one-limb bear driving a car simulator available for your iPad or Nexus 7 or any other tablet PC.
Wow.
Free if you download it for your normal home PC.
Wow.
True story.
That is a great story.
And one time, there was a fish in my car that was literally bigger than my car. Just its head was sticking through the sunroof, and Bear was very angry and confused.
Uh-huh.
It happened.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to move on to a good recommendation?
That's an amazing recommendation. I will keep talking about EnviroBear until somebody else talks about their recommendation.
I can't think of a recommendation for this.
Because
week.
You can't top EnviroBear.
Trains.
Oh, I suppose I'll go with Trains. I like
Trains.
Trains
are awesome.
You should announce what the actual game is called.
We like Trains.
Hooray for Trains.
Thank you, Sheldon.
I really like Ticket to Ride. It's a five-player game. I call it Trains because what you do is you connect a train from one city to another city, and if you can't connect, then you don't get the points for that. It's pretty amazing to dick people over in that game.
It's a nice, like, Euro game.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can play it.
Anybody can play it.
And it's not, like, light in a crappy way, like Munchkin. It's light in a good way.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it has an ending. The problem with Munchkin is once people get up to, like, 9 points, like, nobody wins until people run out of cards.
When you play Munchkin, everyone loses.
No, the first 15 minutes of Munchkin are fantastic.
That's true of way too many Steve Jackson games.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, boy, this is wacky. These cards are funny, and it's 2 hours, and it still hasn't ended. Jesus Christ, please stop.
But no, Ticket to Ride is fun. You can play it. My parents learned how to play it, which might not mean a lot to you guys, but my parents don't handle games that aren't Monopoly very well. So that was exciting for me that they could learn how to play it. You can play it while you're drinking because there is some strategy involved, and there is a little diplomacy with getting people to know. But it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a phenomenal entry-level game
for
the whole Euro games subgenre.
Yeah.
Like,
I describe it as
Carcassonne.
I describe it as a gateway game.
I like Carcassonne.
Like, it's one of those games that it's like, you take it to your friend's house who thinks that board games are a Monopoly and Risk, and you say, hey, let's play this board game. And then they play it, and they go, that's amazing! And you go, hey, I know all these other really cool board games that aren't Monopoly or Risk.
It's a drug.
Yeah, it's a gateway drug.
It's like Settlers. Settlers
is
pretty much a gateway.
Settlers, Ticket to Ride, Carcassonne.
Risk Legacy for kids. I keep bringing my friends at work to get that game for the kids.
Risk Legacy is amazing.
It
the
is,
whole
it's
concept
a, it's
behind
good,
that
it's
is
a good
great.
Gateway game as well.
Yeah. But yeah, I actually agree with the Ticket to Ride recommendation. It's very fun.
Although I hear the Europe one is better than the U.S. one. I've never played the Europe one. I've only played U.S.
I don't trust Europe.
And the Amsterdam one looks like a giant penis on the box.
You guys are going there for your trip, so let us know how the game is.
No, they're going to the Caribbean. They said Jesus. What do you think, Austria is someplace in Europe? Don't be ridiculous.
There's not a lot of trains in the Caribbean, are there?
Yeah. They're all underground. You have to go under the sea.
Oh,
it's like the Channel.
They have a Channel to the Caribbean?
Yeah. It has trains in it.
Remember that movie?
It's run by one-armed bears.
Oh, God.
They drive chains to the Caribbean.
Giant fish are in their cars.
Yes.
But just the one time.
Well, they did say they were underwater. Of course there's giant fish in the cars.
Now that there's conversations about underwater tunnels, my mind went to Jaws 3D.
Yes.
Is that your recommendation?
No. Oh, God.
Because
no.
I hope not.
That is not a good recommendation whatsoever.
Recommend staying far away from it.
And Jaws 4.
Yeah.
All right. Revenge.
So what do you guys actually have for recommendations? Andy?
I guess I don't have anything.
Now tell us something.
My recommendation is going to be a movie.
Okay.
Actually, not really a movie. It's a television series that's going to tie into another television series.
What? Interest peaked.
What you might say?
Is there a Megas XLR movie?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But anyway, you're trying to derail me already, and that's not good.
Get it? Because trains.
Oh.
Wow. Zing. Don't unplug her. Tell us about your movie.
No, I was going to.
TV show.
The TV show. Basically, a couple of years ago, there was a really awesome Western TV show on HBO. It was called Deadwood.
Oh, that show is amazing.
It is amazing. It starred a bunch of really awesome actors, Ian McShane and Timothy Oliphant. Well, how I mentioned Deadwood here leads into the other show, which is amazing as well. Timothy Oliphant, who plays an old school marshal, who pretty much gives up the life to try to live as a gold miner, then ends up being forced to be in a marshal for Deadwood. Leading into the after Deadwood closed out, then into this new series, which is Justified.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is a great show on FX, which is going to be starting up here in a couple more weeks on its fourth season. Think of you take the character of Timothy Oliphant's character from Deadwood and put him in modern times in Tennessee.
Right.
So he's just a, you know, fast-talking gunslinger from the 1800s. It is an amazing show. It is easily one of the best shows I've seen on television. I mean, topping very close to Breaking Bad. Which is a great show. Everyone needs to watch Breaking Bad, too.
It's more like Breaking Terrific.
Wow.
I stole that joke.
Nate is officially not allowed to make jokes anymore.
Yeah, that was your recommendations are a joke.
Hey. All right, Carnage.
But yeah,
hey, he wasn't done yet. You son of a bitch!
I apologize. What the hell?
Andy, you're done. Jeremy said you're done talking.
I said I was sorry.
I would just unplug Jeremy.
There you go. Continue.
I was just going to say is that there's three seasons out currently. Right, the new season is actually going to be shown. Season three is going to be on DVD soon, but seasons one and two I think are out on Netflix. If not, that's go buy them anyway.
If anyone wants, just message us on the forum, and Andy will mail you his copy so you can watch it. You have to mail it back, of course, as a loan.
No.
We'll get people into the show. We'll be like a library.
I have several books and movies that I own, like, eight copies of, just so that I can have a half dozen of them out on loan to random people, because I want to proselytize them.
Oh, and everyone should watch Homeland as well.
Homeland, yeah.
Yes.
Wow, triple recommendation. That was impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, it was pretty good.
I didn't really recommend Deadwood, but otherwise that show is awesome too.
Well, now it's triple.
Now it's triple.
You need to Google pancakes and Deadwood. It's the greatest 5 minutes of your life. Yep. I'm not lying. Pancakes, Deadwood.
I could probably just put the audio at the end of this whole thing.
There you go. That'd be your Christmas day. Good Christmas for everybody.
Is that your recommendation?
No.
Deadwood and pancakes.
That's just another. That's just a bonus. I just threw that one out there for free.
Pancakes are always good for about 5 minutes, and then you're like, Jesus, why am I not eating waffles instead?
Deadwood pancakes are amazing.
That's not true. Swedish pancakes are delicious. They beat out waffles
100%
of the time.
That's not just pancakes. Like, that's the thing. Is like, you go to Denny's, and they have $2 is for like three pancakes, or $4 is all-you-can-eat pancakes, and those are the exact same thing. Yeah. You're just paying twice as much, because all you can eat is like three pancakes. After that, you're just sick of pancakes.
It's only for two pancakes.
Swedish pancakes are really thin.
Whatever. Yeah, well, those are more like crepes. Yeah.
Let us know how Austria pancakes are. I'm not really sure how.
Are they made out of kangaroo meat?
I don't know that they have pancakes.
Ooh. I actually, if I can try kangaroo meat while I'm there, I will take it.
I've had kangaroo meat.
They have kangaroo jerky.
It's kind of elkish.
Okay.
It's not,
I love elk.
It's not quite as gamey as alligator.
Okay. I've never had alligator, but I've had elk, and I like elk. I've had reindeer as well.
Do they have koala meat over there?
I think.
Are they endangered?
No.
What if I steal
who
a
koala?
Katie's going to go on a big safari hunting down all the animals over there.
Imagine the person who has to slaughter the
koala. And just looks at you like, oh.
Koalas are vicious bastards.
Yeah,
they are. Wandering the zoos, just murdering the animals.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the Futurama episode where they have the little love bears? And they just, like, hunt them down with the big elephant guns?
Yes. Koalas are my second least favorite animal that's oftentimes misrepresented as a bear. Closely behind pandas. Those worthless piles of crap. If you're going extinct because you're too stupid
to have sex.
Just have sex already. There's a girl. Just do her. Your species is dying. God damn. damn it.
I don't think they actually know what English
is. And everything's, like, and then Disney makes a movie, that Panda Adventure, where it's like the boy in the Panda Adventure. The panda would just murder that kid instantly because they're dickholes.
Oh, yeah.
They're worthless bell-end jerks that are too stupid to have sex. Die, get off my planet.
Wow.
You never know where his tangents are going to come from, but it's always good when they occur.
Oh, my God. Stupid pandas. Anyway, Brian.
Right.
Well, I'll follow that one up.
I don't have a recommendation.
Oh, God. Oh,
if you recommend pandas.
Hey. No. That's Andy's thing. You can't steal it.
Yeah, your recommendation, fine. StarCraft?
Well, you know, I could. I don't know. I just want to recommend. I just want to recommend that people need to go out and play more board games. Just in general. I mean, we already recommended one board game. We played 14 hours of board games yesterday with our group. It's just so much fun. I mean, I love War Machine. And we actually been... Even some of our games we've been playing, like War of the Ring, is just a really competitive two-player board game. And I found the two-player board games, you add about you add about 50 rules to them, but they're so in-depth in the back-and-forth maneuvering, and the tactics in them is just so addicting to me. So I guess I could, I'll just literally just recommend War of the Ring, a two-player board game. Very Lord of the Ring, it's obviously Lord of the Ring themed.
I'm shocked.
One player is forces of shadow, controls all the, I'll get all the bad guys. Get the
You can't even
it's
name
a bad
guy.
There, you get an orc. Come on. And a goblin. You get the Saruman,
perhaps Nazgul.
Urukai. You know some of them.
There's
trolls.
There's Dundlings in the expansion.
Dundlings, yeah, I like it. Expansion. I like it.
There's Southrons. In the base ones, it's Southrons and Easterlings. Yep. Saruman with his wargs and Urukai, and then Sauron with cave trolls and orcs.
And orcs
are the three evil teams.
I'll allow it.
And then.
They're trying to conquer the world while the free peoples. Which
nice name dropping.
Yeah, free peoples. Yeah,
I'm impressed.
Which consists of dwarves, elves, North Rohan, and Gondor.
Dwarves, elves, and men.
No, dwarves, elves, the North, Rohan, and Gondor are the five.
Those are the five free peoples, but there's only three races.
Yes, I didn't say the three races. I said the free peoples consist of dwarves, elves, the North, the kingdom of the North, Rohan, and Gondor. I'm aware that three of those fives are men.
Okay.
How's that topical?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's great.
Thanks,
Way
Jeremy.
Way to be racist, Jeremy. Doesn't matter the men. I don't see race.
That's just
I
not
see
true.
Free peoples and shadow.
We played a board game yesterday where you couldn't help but see race.
No, that's the game designer's fault.
I'm aware.
When you make a game where the entire purpose is to make sure that the black guy never catches the white guy, you really needed to rethink the colors that you used for those figures.
Yeah.
I think that they made it.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that way on purpose.
I mean, I enjoyed the game, but that particular mechanic was pretty out there.
So Brian, I hear War of the Ring.
Sorry. Anyway,
getting off that topic, War of the Ring. Yeah. So the free peoples are trying to defend their lands while they obviously try to get the ring to Mount Doom. Both players have multiple win conditions, so there's a lot of back and forth how you want to strategize your turns. This game takes about 2 hours to play, and it's just really good tactical. Two-player game.
Nice.
I mean, me and Nathan have played it 7 times, and I think we're 4-3 right now, which is it's about the best you can hope for if you're going to play a game that many times.
Has one side won more than the other?
The Free Peoples have won. We've won. I've got one Shadow win. Otherwise, it's always the Free Peoples win.
Mm.
So, I mean, but we've come close, and I think we've been, like, last time, Nathan was, like, one die roll from winning the game.
Yeah, they've come down to the wire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a balance.
It's always really close.
Well, because what's really cool about it, you mentioned the win conditions, is, and it's very War Machine-esque, for people like this about War Machine, and why we always say people should use scenarios is you need that alternate manner. Because in War of the Ring, you can win, the Free Peoples can win by dunking the ring into Mount Doom, and the Shadow can win by corrupting the Ring Bearers to the point of no return, and simultaneously, either faction can win by conquering enough military territory. So there's a balance where you can't just focus whole hog. Like, the Ring Bearers can't just race for Mount Doom, because if they do, the Shadow will just crush them militarily. Meanwhile, Shadow can't just crush militarily, because that'll keep their focus off of Frodo and Sam running to Mount Doom. So it forces you to balance your strategies and do different things. And one of my happiest moments was when I found out I'd recommended the game so much to Brian that he bought it. And I'm like, yes, now I get to play War of the Ring without spending $100.
Yeah, it is a $100 game.
It's worth $100. Yeah, like, you unpack that box, it's like, oh my god, I got a bargain.
It's almost as many miniatures in that box and toy and gadgets as a Fantasy Flight game.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was originally a Fantasy
Flight. Are we talking
Flight
Axis
game.
And Allies number of models? Well,
beyond
here?
That. They're beautiful.
Really?
And they're beautiful.
Well,
and
not
the board
quite as much as Axis and Allies, just for sheer model count, but it's pretty ridiculous.
The quality
and they look
of them,
better.
And
yeah,
they look amazing. And the
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's my recommendation.
All right. Sweet. Sounds good.
And people should have a good holiday. That's my
recommendation. Oh, yeah, and a happy new year.
Happy holiday, people.
Happy new year.
Happy Hanukkah.
I have
belated.
To say that now, because
again,
happy
Christmas.
Hanukkah's over.
We're posting this on Monday, so we're posting this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. Yeah, but I can say happy new year, because remember how I won't be on the podcast?
Yeah, he's going to be in the Caribbean, so battling kangaroos.
Merry Christmas
and
happy new year, and happy Hanukkah to those of you that already celebrated
but
it.
But not happy Kwanzaa, that's fake.
I have it, well...
It was invented in like the 60s. Yeah. That's not a racist thing to say.
No, it's true. It is kind of a fake holiday.
Can we just officially just kick Jeremy off the podcast right now and he can come back next year?
Who says he gets to come back?
Oh.
Ooh.
Ouch.
He on probation.
That hurts.
He on probation.
You know, I'm just saying, I'm just putting this out there, but the most popular guy on the Muse on Minis podcast is Crump, so bear that in mind.
So you want to be like Crump.
Wow. Wow.
Maybe I have a new goal for 2013.
I want to be more like Crump.
Jeremy, 2013, aim low.
On that note.
Yeah.
Are we good?
Yeah, I'm going to go play some EnviroBear, in all honesty.
I'm going to go play Bro
Brothers.
I'm
going to go drive for 3 hours.
Be careful. I hear there's a lot of one-win bears out there.
We had no sex jokes for an hour. It's a very good job.
Yeah, we went through an entire episode. Nathan,
we mentioned a penal colony. We mentioned a penal colony.
That was a real throwaway joke.
You talked about how you were really quick at stuff, and I was going to throw out the bad insect.
There was some wood filler.
The wood filler, I wasn't even trying to be dirty.
I didn't think you were. The only thing is, instead of sex this time, we really talked about drugs.
We did go the drug
and
route.
And kangaroos.
And we talked about how there's an entire game where you need to keep a black guy from catching the white guy.
Okay, so we went racist and drugs instead of sex this time?
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
And I am very proud. I said this earlier. Yesterday was the first time I got to say this, but I'm so happy the Nazis won.
Hooray for that.
Yeah.
You can't often say good for the job, Nazis. And I got to say that yesterday.
Yeah. I do want to get specific. I was not going to mention it, except Andy reminded me, and I agree, and it's worth mentioning. As far as how did they not catch it in playtesting? So in the game we played yesterday, there's the two victory markers, and if the black guy catches the white guy, you all lose because, you know, that's not a horrible thing to have in your game.
No, okay, because you're settling islands,
right,
and the black guys are the
natives.
The details
aren't even... Yeah.
Let me get into the rest of the story.
The details aren't even that important. The point is just, like, if the black guy gets too uppity, we all lose is part of the game, and that's a horrible thing. Just make that a red token. Not even...
No,
whatever.
Not red,
just make them different colors.
Green or...
Make them not shaped like people. Make them green and blue. Who cares?
There you go.
But Lords of Waterdeep, a D&D base game, there are black cubes that represent thieves. That's bad enough. But ignoring the fact that the blacks are thieves, there's black cubes and there's white cubes, and you can trade them in for gold. And the black cube is worth 3 gold, and the white cube is worth 5 gold. So blacks are worth 3/5 of a white, which I may have heard of before in something called the 3/5 compromise in the Constitution.
Yeah, so, that's terrible.
Nowhere in their playtesting did somebody go, blacks are worth 3/5 of a white, like, history class, please?
Well, they might have been thinking, like, thieves are in the night, and the night is black. And they would be
forgiving. They could have gone with like a blue color or like a dark.
Like I guess that they didn't get it. But the problem is, you can't, once you've thought of that even remotely, you can't look at that game and not go, oh my God.
Well, and it isn't even just thieves are black. Like, it's not even just that. Like, you know, that's like the colonists in Puerto Rico are brown cubes and whatever. Like,
yeah,
you know, you can go with that, but just
fine.
Blacks are worth 3/5 of a white.
Yeah, that's
that is something that has existed in America's past. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Pretty terrible.
Yeah, same with, like, another game, Conquest of Pangaea has power cards, and there's different colored decks, and so there is white power cards. And the cards just say white power on them. And on the back, on the board, there's a spot that says, this spot is for white power cards. It's like, you designed that board, you designed those cards, you wrote white power card in your instruction manual, and you're like, wait, white power,
I feel like that was honestly not as bad as the one we played yesterday or Lords of Waterdeep.
Yeah.
It's just not as bad.
Because the whole time, like, I wasn't doing it on purpose. We're describing the game. I'm like, remember, if the black guy gets too good, we all lose.
Yeah.
And we'd all just shudder and feel horrible about ourselves for saying that.
Yep.
I guess that's our advice out to playtesters and new designers out there.
Yeah. Think it through a little
Think
bit.
Think it
through
a little bit. Yeah.
Just a little. Not a lot. It doesn't take a lot. A little.
Gargathor attended the seminar at Privateer Press, and they were going to originally name the Signar Colossal, a different name, but they actually had research and they realized that the original name was actually a name of some racist group or something.
Yeah, wow. It was like a group of neo Nazis called themselves, like Stormfront or something
Stormfront.
Like that. And that's a neo Nazi group.
So so they obviously researched. I mean, so someone said, "Hey, Stormfront's a cool name." I'm like, yeah, it's cool. And the other guy's like, "Legal's like, wait, yeah, you can't."
So
do
as
that.
It turns out, in this day and age, you could just take your game term and type it into Google, and if one of the first five hits is terrible, horrible, awful, maybe think of a new name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The internet is a thing.
Yeah. Like, Google. You know, you don't have a Ticket to Ride game come out that takes place entirely in the heartland that's called the Cleveland Steamer.
Congratulations. You managed to put one in.
Boom!
Boom! Hey, nailed it.
You know who else didn't manage to put one in? You. Because no one has sex with you in your penis.
What?
What?
In his penis?
No, and his penis.
Oh. Because
I've heard Jeremy loudly shout before, my penis goes in things. Like, yeah. I've been at their house just in a room, and in the next room I just hear, my penis goes in things!
That happened one time.
You just shout that occasionally.
By the way, were you the one that wrote We Sex People on our bathroom mirror?
I was not, but I wish I could take credit for that.
No, it's not We Sex People. We Sex on People.
Oh, We Sex on People.
It's a great motto.
Hey,
that's on my mirror at my house.
A fun thing to know for those of you out there, especially if you go to conventions and room with people in hotel rooms and you share the room or whatever, is if you dip your finger in soap residue and write on a mirror, it's invisible, but steam won't stick there. So you can write stuff like, hey, snuck in while you're taking a shower, your ass looks great, on the mirror, and then your buddy will take a shower and he'll come out and he'll see that, and then he'll come beat the living crap out of you with a brick, and it's hilarious. So draw a little heart at the bottom.
So who wrote it?
We don't know. We're very jealous.
No one's willing to take credit. Everyone thinks it's hilarious. No one's willing to take credit.
Now, what I want to know is, was the person who wrote it informing you that they sex on people, or were they writing on behalf of you, like as a label?
Know.
Like the Shays sex on people.
It's been there for weeks.
Yeah, for a while.
Like you haven't cleaned it off, you just keep it because you approve of it?
Well, it's just one of those things that, like, you get out of the shower and you're like, well, that's kind of funny.
It's true, I do sex on people.
You just leave that for the relatives when they come in.
Yeah, I should remember to clean that up if, like, the in-laws are coming.
Oh, no, and if they're listening.
Yeah, my mom will listen.
We had no shout-outs today either.
Jeff, you're awesome. Hooray, Jeff.
We mentioned Gargathor a couple times.
We did.
Yeah.
But he won't listen to us.
No.
He's got things to do.
Well, true.
There you go.
All right, anyway, we are done. We're calling it.
Close it out.
You're closing it down.
Who's moving on?
Shutting it down.
Yeah. Shut them down forever.
How the hell are we going to have our next podcast without Jeremy conducting everything?
Yeah, we'd be so confused.
It'll be a mess.
The thing is, what happens when halfway through discussing something, nobody says, all right, we're done, in the middle of somebody else's sentence?
I don't say we're done. I say moving on.
Yeah, okay. Like, literally mid-sentence, moving on. Bored now.
TLDR. All right. Cool. I'm out.
Thank God. Yeah.
Our beginnings and end are so amazing on this podcast. We start strong and end strong.
Well, I like that we just kind of peter out.
Yeah, just like Jeremy.
Boom! Oh, my gosh.
You asked for it. You're like, no sex jokes from Nathan. Nathan wasn't making fun of my poor quality sexual relations. Well, I got that here for you.
That's not what I said.
It was what you said. You're like, wow, no, I feel really, unloved. So you're welcome, Jeremy. You're bad at having sex.
That's just not true.
No, that's what I hear.
It's on Google.
That's what I read on your bathroom mirror.
Wow.
Jeremy's bad at sex.blogspot.com.
Oh, God.
I'm registering that now if that doesn't already exist. Bye.
Bye.
And he's signing out. Anybody else trying to sign out, or is it just me?
I said bye.
I said bye. I have EnviroBear waiting on me.
Yeah.
All right. We all said goodbye.
Stop
at like
listening.
At like 6-minute intervals, each of us had said goodbye, and the rest have continued to refuse to stop talking.
Yes, that is true.
Because we wanted this. We were done at like an hour, because we're like, we're going to make this one end at an hour, and then we're just going to talk for a half hour about ending it an hour ago.